8. And today we are going to begin looking at Ezekiel's visions. And I am so excited to be able to do that with you. So I've been asking the Lord about how to proceed and what to share. And I really felt like the Lord wanted me, well, that sounds so important. It's not that important. I felt like the Lord laid on my heart based on my limited knowledge in Ezekiel that to go ahead and share some areas within the visions that I have been searching on or he's shared with me prior to actually teaching the class at all. And so I'm excited to be able to share those things with you because there are searches and things where the Lord has been sharing Christ with me. So this week we're going to be looking at the vision of the glory of God and his chariot in Ezekiel chapter 1. So why don't you go ahead and turn there in your Bibles. And while you, that's for the students, and I know many of you who are listening are just having this on and have it rolling. While they're turning there, I'm going to just shout out to everybody that's on Zoom with us today. Hello, Geraldine. I love you. Hello, Francine. It's so good to see you on. Kim, keep going for Jesus. We're all praying for you, and we know you have the Lord, and you're drawing from deep wells to keep your eyes on him. We love you. Bia, it's good to see you. Hi, Mom and Dad. I'll see you in a couple hours. And Michael Rosh, it's good to have you on, and I hope that the Lord blesses you today. So let's go ahead and open with prayer, and then we will dig into the scriptures a bit and see what he has for us. Lord, we come before you in the name of your son, Jesus, and I will be the first to say, Lord, I need you, and I still don't see you as I ought. And as wonderful as it is to dig into your word and to know you, Lord, I want to know you in me, where you're living and where you have access to extend yourself and to love and to serve and to pour out and to live to the glory of your Father and the blessing to others. And I ask that you'll just continue to take ground in me and in all of us. And in the meantime, Lord, we are delighted to sit at your feet and just for you to be able to share, Holy Spirit, whatever's on your heart today. So use the word in the people's hearts and in their minds today and let them just forget whatever I say. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're in Ezekiel chapter 1, and I just want to say, first of all, that I am no expert in anything prophetic, first of all, and I think I've shared that with you, but I'm no expert here in the things I'm going to share with you today and also in next week's class on Ezekiel's temple, which is what we'll look at next week. What I'm sharing with you today might not even be the most accurate interpretation of this passage in chapter 1. It's just what the Lord was able to show me based on where I was at a certain time in my walk with the Lord and where my heart was open and he wanted to initiate and share. And so I realized that there are depths of Christ that I have not accessed. And I pray that maybe this will be a springboard for some of you to move on out in the Lord and to search the scriptures for yourself, to see him in new, amazing ways that bring you into his image. Okay. So what he has shared with me is concerning Christ within Ezekiel's visions. And so, that's a little bit different than looking at a prophecy and seeing what's going to happen on a timeline, whether what's already been fulfilled, like a prophecy that's already been fulfilled, like the coming of Jesus, or whether it's something that we feel like is yet to be fulfilled on a timeline. And many times when people study the prophets, this is where their focus goes. For me, for Acts, for the leadership here, I believe, and for the reason that the Lord raised the place up, we are here to see Christ. And that brings an eternal aspect to our searching so that whatever we see in the scriptures, whether it's in the prophets, if it's in the historical books, if it's in the gospels, we are looking for that eternal spirit that is Christ. And that's how it applies to us in any time, because Christ fulfills all the law and the prophets. And we looked at that in our very first lesson a few months back. So we are going to the scriptures to behold Christ in an eternal reality with reference to how he relates to us, his people. And it's beautiful and it's wonderful. So like I said, put your Jesus glasses on. You know, don't worry about what this prophecy means on a timeline. We want to lift our hearts up to just behold the Son and to fellowship with the Father and the Son. So we're going to be reading. We can't go through this whole vision today. There's just no way. And I don't know enough of the Lord to be able to do that in this way. The area or passage we're going to be focusing on is verses 15 through 21 in Ezekiel. And I was wondering if we would have a reader today, if someone would be willing to go ahead and unmute and read those six verses for us. Is there anybody out there who would like to do that? Because I'm going to be talking the rest of the time, so I'm, you know, giving myself a break here. Scott has volunteered. Yes, Scott, that would be wonderful. If you want to come up to the camera, or I don't know if you have a microphone back there, but either way. Okay. Scott is going to read for us today. Thank you, Scott.
15 21.
Chapter 1, 15 through 21.
Hello again. Now as I beheld the living creatures, behold one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like the color of a barrel, and they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them, four. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went. Thither was their spirit to go. And the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. When those went, these went. And when those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels.
Okay, and the title of the class today is Ezekiel's Visions, Wheels Within Wheels. Thanks, Scott. So we are looking at the passage of Scripture that deals with the living creatures who have already been described, and then the wheels that are associated with these living creatures. Now, that was read out of the King James Version, if I'm not mistaken, and that's the one that I also use. Perhaps you have a different version that maybe is a little more modernized and might give you a little bit of a better flow, and I hope so. That said, what I would like to do is just bring out a couple phrases within this passage for our attention first and foremost, and I think it's going to be the springboard for how the Holy Spirit wants to lift up Jesus today. If you go down to, I don't even know what verse it is. It's where it says, when the living creatures went, the wheels went. When the living creatures went, the wheels went. That's the first area that we want to just settle that in your heart, that the spirit, where the living creatures went, the wheels went. That's the first spot. Then the next area just to have in view is the very last, I think it's the very last verse. Wherever the spirit was to go, they went. There was their spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up beside them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. Okay, so we have this flow of, there's like three components here. There's spirit, there's living creatures, and there's wheels, and they're all interrelated and flowing together. So just hold those areas in your heart, and I'm just going to read some things. And like I said, this was a search that I did a really long time ago, and the Lord is still working it in me. I was just reading it the other day and going, oh, Lord, you showed this to me so many years ago, and I still need to know you here. But I'm sharing it with you today because I felt like there was life in it. So, the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. The living creatures are the new creation, and they are completely heavenly in nature. The wheels, which are beside each of the four living creatures, bear the Lord where he desires to go, for he is seated in the midst of these creatures. The living creatures have no contact with the earth, but the wheels were so high that they were dreadful. They spanned both heaven and earth. So I want to just share a little bit about what I feel is going on here. We didn't read about the description of the living creatures, but they're, I mean, just reading the words and not having any insight from the Spirit of God, they're pretty wild, crazy out there. There's nothing in the living creature's makeup that looks like anything we understand. We see that they have four faces, that they're faced different directions. We see that they have six wings or four wings, and two wings they're covering themselves, two wings are covering their feet, and they're bearing up above them the glory of God, which is also hard to describe. So this is what I feel like the Lord shared with me, that these living creatures, the four together, how they are, this is a description, as best Ezekiel could give it, of the new creation, okay? It's so foreign to us that our minds don't have anything to compare it to, so we don't know how to relate to it or to make it something that we can put, like, categorize in our brains as something that we know. But that's why it stays so outside of our understanding. But the fact of the matter is, it says over in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that if any person is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. And if they're new, how can we possibly define it by the old, the things that we know already? So I don't want to really try to explain what that all means. I don't think I could. Like, well, this part of it is this part of the new creation, and the faces mean that part of the... That's not what I'm trying to say. All I'm trying to present is the four of them together present the new creation, and just to accept it as that, okay? The complete new creation of God that doesn't have sin in it, that is where God dwells, that is perfect and whole and has all the resources of the Lord. Everything that we understand in part is deposited there. But the new creation here is with reference to bearing the glory and the presence of the Lord. That's kind of the angle that Ezekiel is presenting to us. He's not really presenting to us all the supply of what's in Christ, like we abide in Christ and we bear fruit. He's not really looking at that angle of the new creation. He's looking at the angle of that which bears the glory and the presence of the Lord. Okay, so it's what we all are in Christ. We're all... As we are born again and as we believe into Christ, there is this full new creation, and we all believe into that spiritual creation and are, if you will, members of it or partakers of it. And it looks foreign to us because we're not fully spiritually minded, so we can't really grasp with our brains what that is. We have to let the Holy Spirit open our hearts to it as we continue to draw near to him and press in to know him and recognize, you know, I don't know him the way I really need to. I know him some. I know that he's shared with me. I know that there are ways that I know him, but I can't stop here. There's obviously more. There are things that puzzle me, things that I don't understand, things where my brain can't get a hold of it, and I'm trying with my natural earthly mind to get a hold of things. Well, I need to have eyes of the Spirit. I need to have the dove's eyes open up Christ to me. Okay, but it is the perfection and completion of the new creation in spirit, and it is full of the Spirit of Christ. Okay, it is full of the Spirit of Christ, and that's what we're going to see, the Spirit of the living creatures. Okay, so there's the Spirit, there's the living creatures, and then there's the wheels, and they all move kind of together. So you have the Spirit, and by that Spirit, the living creatures move, and that gives the power or the energy for the wheels to turn, okay? And that is what moves God's presence everywhere. That's the movement of God's presence. So the Spirit initiates, the living creatures move with that Spirit, and we're going to see that that's the crucified Spirit of Christ, and that causes the wheels to turn, and God's chariot with his glory and his presence moves throughout the earth. let's see. The wheels are the cycle of death and resurrection, which is the experience of the saints, okay? In the new creation, you're not actually visibly seeing death and resurrection take place or moving through the experience of Jesus's sufferings and the power of his resurrection. But the wheels are displaying that for us. Now, how would a wheel display that? Okay, well, think of a wheel with spokes, and you think about how the top part of the wheel, if you're, let's say, driving a wagon in the Wild West or something, the wheel at the top will move down and forward, and the bottom part of the wheel, that's like the weight is of the wagon's resting on the bottom of the wheel, would move kind of up and backward, and that's what causes the wheels to go. Now, you have an energy source like horses or somebody pushing or pulling, but the wheels is what causes it, gives it movement on the earth in a way that it can actually move on the earth. If you took the wheels off the cart, there would be very little movement, okay? So you need the energy, which would be the spirit of it. But then you need wheels, something that can keep the thing moving forward. Okay, the wheels are the cycle of death and resurrection, which is the experience of the saints. Now, how is that possible? Jesus died on the cross once for all, and he was raised from the dead, and he's in heaven. Well, the spirit, the nature of Jesus that made him willing to go to the cross and die, that nature is in us. So when we're talking about experiencing death and resurrection, we're not talking about dying for sins and redeeming people. First of all, we're not Jesus, and we can't do that. Second of all, it's already been done by Jesus. So that's settled. But what this is a taking on of the image and the nature of Christ, which, you know, Jesus will give himself when there's no sin. Did you know that? He will simply prefer us to himself and serve us and love us. And that's a form of dying, isn't it? When you put someone in front of yourself. So we're looking at that kind of spirit, a spirit that will lose, a spirit that will go low and be humbled for the sake of the glory of God being born in the earth. But not only that, when God sees that spirit of his son working in a believer, he raises it. He honors it, doesn't he? Just like it says over in Philippians, the reason why Jesus was raised from the dead wasn't just that the sin problem was paid for. It was because the Father saw the spirit of that Son and he raised him up far above. Okay, well, when he sees Jesus in you and me and he sees a Jesus that's willing to kind of go down and go low, he honors that spirit. And so you have him moving forward. See, and so this isn't a physical thing that we're looking at, is it? It's a spiritual reality, and Ezekiel's trying to use physical components like wings and faces and wheels to help us understand something that's eternal and spiritual. So it really takes the Spirit of God to open this to us. We can't just do it with our brains and our intellect. Okay, so that said, it is cycling through death and resurrection of which we have been speaking, and this cycle moves the Lord wherever he has a mind to go. This cycle moves the Lord wherever he has a mind to go, because it's his spirit. His spirit causes an unction within the new creation. The new creation says, yes, I will give my life, and the wheels go, and the glory of God moves into the earth. Isn't that amazing? And that we're a part of that. I'll read on and you'll see how we're a part of that. The spirit of the living creatures is Christ. So the spirit that is in the wheels that makes them go down and come up, that's also Christ. It's the spirit in the wheels that moves them. Even so, it is Christ in us who knows what we ought to do and where we are to go for the sake of the increase of God's glory in the earth. See, we don't know what will glorify the Lord the most. We don't know in our own intellects what it is that causes an increase of Christ. Sure, we have great ideas. Sure, we have things we do for the Lord. But really, the only thing that moves God in the earth so that his life goes wherever he wants it to go is the spirit of the living creature in the wheels. That's what moves the chariot of God, okay? All right, so I hope that feeds you. Moving forward here, not only do the wheels represent the believer's experience, okay? So this is your personal experience. Let me back up then, since we're going into that. You personally, as a believer, as you walk with Jesus, you're abiding in Christ, you're living above, you're learning to keep your eyes above in heavenly places and put blinders on to earth things. You're filling your mind with the word. You're crying out to know the Lord, and you're learning to just be dead to you according to the cross, but you're dead to, you know, you're dead to sin, you're dead to the law, you are one with Christ, but your experience in the earth is going to more resemble a wheel more than a living creature, as far as what your personal experience is going to be. Your reality and your home is in Christ, and as that, you are that new creature in spirit, corporately with all believers everywhere of all time. But your personal experience, there's going to be ups and downs, just like a wheel. You're going to go up and you're going to go down. And that's not because you haven't learned Jesus enough yet. Well, it might be, but not necessarily. It's going to not because God just wants to deal with you and teach you a lesson. It's going to be because you are the expression and the outworking of the spirit of the living creature, if you're a member of Christ. So you are going to personally experience that spirit going, Christ in you is going to be going through death and resurrection to move the glory of God out into the earth wherever it needs to go. Okay? So that's going to be your experience. Now, me saying that, or even you realizing that on your own, doesn't mean that you understand it spiritually where you'll be able to identify your circumstances as such. It's going to take a very close walk with the Holy Spirit to be tuned in and to know when it's the Lord is going into death in you, he's going down and going low, and when the Father is raising him up. So we learn to walk very, very closely and tenderly and humbly with the Lord to know the movements of this, the Spirit of Christ, so that the wheels will move the way God wants them to. Okay, so not only do the wheels represent the believer's experience of going down into death and up into resurrection, it also speaks of the fact that different believers who have entered into this reality are all at different places in their experience of death and resurrection. Okay, so while some are soaring on new heights of resurrection at the top of the wheel, woo, coming up out of death, new life, increase of Christ, activity for the Lord, anointings and giftings, excitement, movement, going forward. Others are making their way down just like a wheel. The whole wheel can't go up at the same time, can it? If it's a wheel, some's going up and some's going down all at the same time. But the thing is, it's all the same spirit. It's the spirit of the living creature in the wheels that causes some to go up and some to go down all at once. Okay? So some are soaring on the heights of resurrection at the top of the wheel. Others are making their way down into death at the bottom of the wheel. It is necessary for each individual believer and each local fellowship to continue in the cycle, for the whole plan of God depends on it. Why? What does the plan of God include? It includes the new creation, and it includes you and me as vessels of that spirit. So God's work and movement in the earth requires vessels who can move with the spirit of Christ in this way. See, and that's where we're growing and learning, isn't it? We're all at a place, I believe everybody who's here and on today, there's something in our hearts that's, yes, more of Jesus, yes, less of me. Lord, I want to be conformed to you more. I want Christ coming out of me more. Well, that's the journey that we're on. And as we are made more and more conformable to the Spirit of the Son, and he is being given room in us, we're going to see this happening, and it's going to bring forth the glory of God. Okay. Let's see. Each part of the wheel must continue to cycle through death and resurrection if there is to be a spread of his kingdom and if the increase of his government is to have no end. You remember that verse over in Isaiah? They're almost alike. They're both so eternal. But of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. Right? Well, when we are taking on the form of that spirit of Christ, we're a part of that, that this government is going to go on and on and on and on, and we're bringing that. We are participating with the Lord in all that he desires, and we are fellowshipping with him in that. So I write, no matter what your personal experience is, because as you could probably guess, some of, you know, certain places on the wheel might be a little more enjoyable than others, perhaps. Might be. You might prefer, woohoo, rather than, oh, I'm at the very bottom and all the weight's resting on me, like the bottom of the wheel, right? That might not be as fun or as easy to bear, right? Because the weight is on the bottom of the wheel. The weight's not on the top of the wheel where you're just sailing and everything you do is easy, you know, and full of the spirit, you know. Well, the bottom of the wheel is full of the spirit too. But I mean, you can feel like your wings are spread and the wind just bears you up. This wind of the spirit just bears you up. Well, that's one place on the wheel, isn't it? Okay. So hold your place at the wheel, no matter where you find yourself. Don't jump off. Okay. The increase of Christ depends upon the movement of the wheels. These are the wheels that move the presence of God and his government wherever he wills. If we cease to flow in this precious cycle, his movement by life is vastly restricted. What if everybody only went up and that was it? Well, that'd be it. See, there has to be a full understanding of the all of one, of death and resurrection are all of one spirit. And that's the one movement. So we feel the pull of temptation to stop moving forward. And remember, if you're at the top of the wheel, how do you move forward? You can only move forward by going down, right? Jesus only moves forward by going down. That's how Jesus moves forward. And he even said it in the scriptures. He said, whoever seeks to save his life, he will lose it. But whoever loses his life for his sake and the gospel, the same will save it. Well, you see that. I'll say if I, because I know I've done it. If I'm at the top of the wheel and I go, I want to camp here forever. I'm going to be at the top of the wheel and I'm going to pour a concrete slab and build a house on it and stay right there. I don't want to go down. I want to stay up here. Guess what? I've just lost being in that thing. I've lost being a part of the movement of the Lord. I've lost the oneness. And I've lost, you know, and I've lost what my soul was called to and what it's meant for. But if I go, well, I really love being at the top of the wheel. Personally, it's one of my favorite experiences, but God has other places to be and other places he needs to go. And I want to move with him. Yes, Lord, I'll go down for the sake of the huge plan of God. My little part right now is to go down. Then I move forward. I may have lost my preferred spot on top. And let's face it, that's the carnal mind's preferred spot is on top, right? I may have lost that spot. And it may have been the Lord while I was there, but now it's the Lord that I'm here because his life is always moving forward. Amen. Okay. Let's see here. So we feel the pull of temptation to stop moving forward, don't we? We might feel at some point, you may have already experienced this. I'm sure you have, because this is very common. The Lord has done something and maybe we've gone up. And it may be in one little situation, not a really big, long thing, but maybe the Lord has brought you, and you know it was the Lord, and it's just wonderful to be in resurrection with him. And then you feel like a loss of that. Oh, or a door gets shut, or something happens, and you're brought a little lower, and you go, oh, no, I'm trying to get back up. There's a pull or a temptation to not go down. There's a pull in us that doesn't want to do that. Jesus felt that pull in Gethsemane. Did you know that? He didn't. He was struggling with going to the cross big time. So you're not separate from any other person on the planet, including Jesus, if there's a, I don't know if I want that, okay? But just because you feel tempted doesn't mean you have to go with it, and you still have a heart that wants Jesus. And you and I together, we are all cultivating a heart that wants Jesus above the other stuff, whatever the other stuff is. Jesus, I want you. Give me the dove's eyes to see that if it's time to go down by the nature of the spirit within me, that I can be with you in that and not pull back from that, not draw away from the Lord. So we feel the pull of temptation to stop moving forward or going down into death because the five senses and the carnal mind mistake such an entering into death for failure or obscurity or unimportance or not even not being a part. The mind, the unrenewed mind, and let's face it, our minds are somewhat renewed. I mean, we've all been seeing Christ to some degree, but that's an ongoing thing, isn't it? To have the mind renewed. And so wherever the mind is not renewed, guess what? It goes, no, I want my way. No, I don't want to go low. No, this is unfair. No, I'm more important than this. No, I don't want to be left out. Like all those things that start, you know, going in the mind, and a million other things that I either am not going to discuss or haven't been my own experience, but you know what they are. Okay. But anytime that there's lack or going low in the in our experience, there's this sense of either, oh no, I'm going to lose, or oh no, I want to be more important, or maybe I'm not important anymore, like all these kind of things. And all of those thoughts are completely separate from oneness. They have nothing to do with the new creation whose spirit is in the wheels, okay? And so part of the challenge when we're on that part of the wheel that's going down is learning to stay with the spirit of the living creatures and stay with the wheel and recognize the separate thinking and the thinking that's happening. It's like rogue mindsets that have nothing to do with abiding in the vine, nothing to do with being in Christ or being one with Jesus, and learning to dismiss them outright and to shut the door on its pulls, because the mind will say, that's not fair. I want to do something about it. And you have a feeling of it and you want to act on it, and learning to shut the door to that thinking and that attitude by the cross before you can act on it or before it can fill you up. You know, that's a journey in and of itself. But if your heart genuinely wants Jesus and you are developing a connection, a heart connection with the Lord, he will lead you in those things, and you'll be successful not only on the upside of the wheel, but also on the lowering side of the wheel. And it's all of one. It's the same spirit, whether it's going up or going down. So really, it's not that we're trying to be more committed or be more spiritual or like get ready, okay, I'm lower, I have to do it, and we just grit our teeth. No, we're learning to partake of that spirit. We're learning to take of the spirit of the living creature that's in the wheels. Okay. We get especially concerned because we're in a body, right? And so in a local fellowship or maybe on a much larger stage, we get concerned when our personal experience is kind of going down, but we see other people who are blessed at the same time, and God's doing things in their lives and using them mightily and giving them things and talking to them, and we're kind of going down and he's quiet and he's not really backing us up. We go, oh, something must be wrong with me, or Lord, what did I do wrong, or oh, I'm not called to this, or I don't know what we think all kinds of stuff. I don't even know. Okay, so that gets rough. That's a pull when we start comparing ourselves among ourselves. But what does Paul say about that? Not wise. I think it's over in 2 Corinthians. If you compare yourself among yourselves, what you need to compare yourself to is, am I right now of that spirit, of the spirit of the living creature that is in the wheels? If you're of that spirit, you are fine. You are fine. Wherever he has you, up, down, high, low, full of just woohoo, sailing on the currents of the spirit, or it just seems like, you know, where's God? Because it's dark down here and quiet. No matter what your personal experience, you're of the same spirit. It's all one spirit. It's just the experience is playing out in time and space, and you can't have it all there at the same time. It's a wheel. You know, different ones are in different places. Let's see here. We must allow ourselves, when we feel that pull to not do it, we must allow ourselves to go down and release others to go up. Bless those that are manifesting the resurrection that is Christ. Bless them, Lord. Use them. Use them to bring the increase. I will bear the weight of the death for now. You know, things will change because wheels keep turning, okay? And so we all have our seasons. We must allow ourselves to go down and release others to go up, and rejoice in Christ's resurrection being made manifest in his body, even if I personally am not experiencing it in this moment. And maybe this will give insight for you personally. May the Lord use this to interpret, you know, not your earthly state, but maybe that gives answers on some front for you. I know it has helped me tremendously to go, oh, okay, as long as I'm partaking of that spirit, then I'm at the right place on the wheel, no matter what it looks like. And not only am I at the right place on the wheel that he wants me to be, I'm doing my part. Because the minute, you know, I stop doing my part, my part's going down, the other part, in order for them to go up, I have to keep moving forward into death. Or the part that needs to go up isn't going to go up, and God's not going to move, you know? And so I want to be with the Lord when it's about more than just my personal whatever. You know, I want to be with him in that. Okay, let's see. The rims of the wheels. The rims of the wheels are covered with eyes. Wouldn't you think it would be so important to keep looking at Jesus, no matter what your personal experience is of the Lord in the moment? Oh my goodness. You're down at the bottom. You're on part of the rim that's bearing the weight of the chariot. Oh, it's heavy down here, and I'm in the mud. Someone just pushed my face in the mud, and I'm so low. It's best, the eyes on that rim, just let it look to Jesus, right? Just let it look to Jesus. Oh, I'm of the Spirit. This is who I am in Christ. This is who he's made me. Yes, Lord, bearing the weight of it, bearing about in my body, the dying of the Lord Jesus. Oh, I feel the weight of it, but I'm bearing it. I'm letting it be, and I'm with you, Lord. Okay? But then up you come, and you still need to look at Jesus. Don't want to look at yourself and go, huh, I'm really useful to the kingdom. Everything I do for the Lord is super easy, and people are doing what I say. Amazing. It must be something about me that the Lord can use. Oh, no. Eyes are off of Jesus. Let the eyes that are inherent in the rims continually focus on the Lord so that you will know anything good that I have, any way that the Lord is using me or whatever he's showing me, it's not of me at all. It's because I'm one with him. Everything I have is the Lord's. I'm nothing. I'm just one with him. And then if your eyes are continually focused on him, you won't get tricked in the high parts of thinking it's something about you. How many of us have been tricked when the Lord has brought us up and we thought that that made us important or there was something that we did to get us there? The Lord is the Lord. He wants to go places. He wants his glory to move into the earth and to increase and to fill. And he needs people who are in tune enough with his spirit and aren't in tune with their carnal minds, who think, oh, woe is me, I'm low, or woohoo, yeah, I'm really high. With none of that. We want our eyes only on Jesus and nothing else. Wouldn't it even be wonderful if we were really kind of separated from our own personal experience and we were just looking at Jesus and whatever was happening, the ups and the downs, they're all the same to us, you know? It says of that of God, that the light and the darkness, it's all the same to him. You know, whether he has good stuff to work with or evil stuff to work with, it's all the same to him. He's going to bring forth his son, okay? So let our eyes, the eyes of the rims, continually be looking to behold the glory of God. Yes, this is what I'm of. I am bearing the glory of God in the earth. I am part of something bigger than myself. I'm a part of a wheel, and together, and with other wheels, and together we are bearing his glory for his purposes. I am in that new creation, but what I look like right now is the rim of the wheel stuck in the mud at the bottom. But I am of the spirit of the new creation, and that's why I'm here. And seasons will change. They always do, because death and resurrection is eternal life, and it keeps cycling through. Let's see here. The rims of the wheels are covered with eyes. So no matter what your condition, no matter what part of the cycle you are experiencing at the moment, you can look at Jesus. This cycle, after all, is who the Lord is and how he fellowships. To be moving with him, then, requires seeing him. Requires seeing him. The minute our eyes get off of Jesus, I don't know about you, I probably should just talk about myself here. The minute my eyes get off Jesus, I'm full of all kinds of ideas. I think I know how things should be, how things should be done. I think I have the right viewpoint on a situation, and it always ends in death. I'm a slow learner, I know. Pray for me. But what I'm learning more and more is that it always ends in death. But to just put blinders on and look only at Jesus and to be filled only with his reality and his word and to have place for him within my being and not have other stuff going on in there that's taken his place, it's just the best way to be. And I'll be on the, I will fulfill that place on the wheel that he has put me, whether it's up, down, high, low, somewhere in between, it won't matter to me because my mind and heart are filled with the one that doesn't matter whether it's dark or light. You know, we're just going with God. We're just moving with the Lord together. Okay. Let's see. It requires seeing him. There's no power of his resurrection and no knowing the fellowship of his sufferings without seeing him. Indeed, there is no being made conformable to his death until we see him. All fellowship with God, all increase of Christ, all moving as one with him requires the eyes of our heart to be fastened upon him at every moment. This beautiful picture of how the living creatures, the wheels, and the Lord himself are interrelated and moving together as one is the frame of reference for each believer's individual experience of death and resurrection. To fellowship with God in his eternal fellowship is to lose view of oneself and become swallowed up of life eternal. Instead of seeing only himself and his personal relationship with God by Christ, the believer is swept up into the purposes of God that have been resident within his heart from eternity past. The believer's personal experience finds its context within the greater reality of the living creatures, who, as a corporate being, find their sole purpose for existence in bearing the Lord wherever he desires to go, no matter what the cost, no matter how deep the death. So is that spirit fully working in you and me down here on earth every day? No. Do we look like living creatures running around with all kinds of wings and all kinds of faces? No. But part of when the Lord believes and knows that we have been genuinely joined with him, he will treat us like his wheels. He will treat us like his wheels. And I know personally from personal experience, I have not always understood that my experiences in life and the things that have happened to me that maybe I didn't like and the things that happened to me that were wonderful times with the Lord, they all came from being the wheel, part of the wheel, and the spirit of a living creature was filling it. My mind was detached from the reality and thinking this and thinking that and thinking, oh, it's about me here. I'm better than other people. And I'm sorry to say I've done it. I'm better than other people because the Lord put me higher. You know, I'm sorry to say that I got, you know, upset and thought way too much about, oh, I'm lower than everybody. I hate this. I'm sorry to say I've said that. I've said it all. I've had it all in my heart. But this is what's so amazing. As messed up as I've been, the spirit of the living creature was still in the wheel. And the Lord's like, well, Mallory's messed up. It's true. Her brain is a disaster. But she is one with me, and this is the place on the wheel. I need to go forward, and I know that in the end she's with me, and she will allow the cycle to take place. And I'm going to keep her here in my grace and mercy and bind her to myself, and we will work on her mind along the way. Okay. So that's kind of how he deals with me. I'm sharing this stuff, but believe me, I'm by no means conformed. I still need the Lord desperately. And so that's what it is. The oneness is the strongest thing. The reality of the finished work of Christ and his heart that has gathered us into himself, the work of the cross, and as we've been learning in other aspects too of being in Christ, there is no separating us from Christ, guys. There's our failures to do it right do not separate us from being a part of the wheel, okay? Our carnal minds raging and ruling like they're king of the universe in our brains, that doesn't change oneness. It doesn't change oneness. We are in Christ. If any man is in Christ, you are a new creature. You are a new creature. You are, not if you get it. You are a new creature if you finally understand it. You are a new creature if you act like it. No, you are, okay? So it's a form that we can never fully understand, but we're not there yet. But what we are is wheels. Okay. It's also spiritually discerned, but it's a little more earthly in the sense it touches both earth and heaven. Okay. The wheels touch both earth and heaven. But you are so one and bound up with his heart, you're going around on the wheels whether you really understand it or not. Okay. And that's kind of reassuring that you can't mess this up. This is an ordered relationship of the Lord that he has brought forth, and he's put you in him, and you're experiencing it. Right now, probably, you're somewhere on the wheel. Now, let me just say that the point of this is not for us to like go, okay, where am I? Am I low? Because I'm lower than this person, so I must be, but I'm higher than that person, so maybe I'm somewhere in the middle. That's not what we're doing. We're not trying to like map out who's higher and who's lower. Okay, that's not, so don't let your mind go there. What we're trying to do is map out Christ, okay? As you see him in his spirit and you're filled with the spirit, the wheel will turn, and you're a part of it. That's all that matters. And if the Spirit chooses to give you insight, it's not because you were sitting there picking yourself apart and thinking about it, or looking at that person, or looking at that person and comparing yourself. That's not That's not the spirit of the living creature that's in the wheels. That's the rogue carnal mind taking off on its own, making stuff up, you know, that might jive really well with the world system and the godlessness of this age, but has nothing to do with where God has placed you in his son. Nothing to do with it. Okay? So we're not trying to figure it out. The point is that corporately, all of us together, along with the many saints of ages past, the saints coming up behind us, the ones around the world right now, it's a chariot for the Lord. Okay? We bear his presence. For the wheels to move, so parts of the wheels go up, parts of the wheels go down. Who that is, you might be aware of that or tuned in somewhat, but you're not the head and you don't see that fully. Okay? You don't know that fully. Your eyes are just on the Lord. And because your eyes are on the Lord and you're not leaving the spirit of the living creature that's in the wheels, you're not leaving it, then you're a part of what's going on. You're a part of God's eternal workings in the earth. You're feeding on it. You're fellowshipping with him. You're conformed to it. You're shutting out everything that's not that. And you are playing the part. You are in that, whether you are up, down, being used, feels like a dry period, God's talking and showing stuff in the word, everything is silent. No matter what it is, you're valued and useful, not because of what people see or what you're doing for the Lord right now in the moment. You're valued and important and useful because you're God's wheel and you are moving, whether you're the one doing something or not. You are one with that spirit. Okay, that's the beauty of the vision. That's the eternal thing of it. Some are up, some are low, all at the same time. All of it together causes the Lord to go where he wants to go. So when it's your opportunity to kind of go down and maybe lose a bit, that's part of moving the Lord forward. You're doing it. You're a part. We have to say that because the carnal mind doesn't like that part as much. But really, it's all of one spirit and it's all the same to him. So let's see. Sometimes we will find ourselves in a season of dark paths and it will seem as if the Lord himself has forsaken us. Sometimes we will find ourselves soaring on the wings of resurrection and the slightest action or word from us will bring forth fruit while we feel as if we were doing nothing at all. Indeed, at these times we may in fact be doing less than we think, for we are being born on the resurrection for which Jesus and those who fellowship with him have been paying dearly. See, that's always good to remember. Wherever there's resurrection, somebody lost their life. Right? Somebody lost their life. Let's just pray. Thank you, Lord, for the ones who are willing to go down on the wheel. We ask you to bless them and use them. May their death, not their death, but the spirit of the living creature, that spirit of the dying of the Lord Jesus, bring forth fruit in those who are going up. In Jesus' name, amen. Just finishing. Our value and our righteousness are never resident within our own experience. Oh, I'm important. God's using me a lot. Oh, I'm not important. I'm being forgotten and left out. None of that. That's not what spirit we're of. Rather, our value and our righteousness are found in being joined to Christ and whether he desires to manifest his death in us or his resurrection and to what degree he wants to do either, that's his business. It's his concern. Our place is to permit the Holy Spirit of God to make us conformable to Christ's death that we might know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. So that's what the Lord gave me to share today. And I hope that that just blesses you because I know that for me, he gave it to me years and years ago. And it's been like a North Star for me, where I can know the Lord like this. I'm going down. For me, it was because he put me into a season of loneliness that I did not understand because I was too high-minded and didn't understand the cross, you know. And so he gave me this picture to help me understand, you know, going down isn't always just about me personally. It's actually helping the whole thing go forward. And going up isn't about me personally, not about my success, not about me being better or higher. It's about bringing the whole everything forward, including the people who are going down. We're bringing them forward. You know, we're in it together, one spirit. Well, okay. Does anybody have any comments or something from the Lord that maybe he was sharing with you as I was chattering away here? maybe he was sharing with you and you would have something that you would like to share with the group. I'd love to hear from you. Isaac, sometimes you have something. Do you have anything today?
Well, I wanted to say thank you. What really stuck out to me was the creatures, right? How you mentioned they're three. They're like three in one, like us, you know, the spirit, soul, and body. And what was I going to say? Like their way reflected Christ. I don't know that I have anything super specific, but that's what stuck out to me.
I just do want to, yes, thank you, because that's right. Their way is Christ. And let me just say, having said that the Lord shared this with me. Whatever degree that you feel like is the Lord, it came from Him. Whatever's wrong, you feel, just toss it, for all of you that are on. But for me, it just goes to show that even if he's talking about a specific point in time, I mean, Ezekiel's about to prophesy about the glory of God leaving the temple in Jerusalem. And so that really no longer applies to us, like that point in time. But the eternal reality that births prophecy has Christ all in it. So we can go dig in there and see Christ right in the middle. And that's kind of, you know, Isaac was responding to that, you know. And Isaac, I think that there are four living creatures, if you just want to check on that. And so
Yeah, there are four living creatures, but they're three in one. They've got the body, the ring, and then the spirit.
Yeah, you've got the four living creatures, you've got the spirit, and then you've got the body. And that's wonderful, because I didn't mention this, but it's almost like the living creatures are us in Christ, but the wheels are like Christ in us. You know, it's a whole different form. And it's just, we're going, our experience of Christ is death and resurrection. We cycle through that. So let's see, Geraldine, did you have something? I thought I saw you pop on for a second. No, okay. Marcia, did you have any? Oh, Geraldine, I have Geraldine, woohoo. Hey. Oh, you have to unmute if you're gonna share. Can you unmute?
I'm so excited about this class. The Lord told me he was going to reveal what that first chapter, that vision meant. I've often read it and just said, well, that's that. I don't know what clue what it means. And the way it worked was, Randy was teaching on the word of done. And I was like, oh, I have no idea what he's talking about. And then the Lord said, look at it like this. There's a thing called starlings. They're a type of bird in Ireland. And when the starlings move, it's called a murmuration of starlings. And you can look it up on YouTube. And it's the most beautiful. There's no lead goose or anything like that. They just move. And I just look at them. I go, how do they know how to move? They move in unison. And they said, that's what I'm talking about in the word done. The whole body of Christ moves in unison. And he said, then he brought me to Ezekiel. He said, I'll explain that to you soon. And then you explained it. I was like, the murmuration of starlings was my link between trying to understand it. When you say you can't understand something with the carnal mind, it's the Spirit of God. But I'm so looking forward to just going through every sentence you said, and thank you so much.
Well, Geraldine, I am sure that there is much, much more that the Lord didn't show me. And so would you just do me a favor and be open? And because he may have all kinds of things he wants to share with you, and I would love to hear it someday when he does. Okay. Thank you, Geraldine. Love you. Marcia, did you have anything, any comments that you would like to share?
Not something specific to share, but thank you for sharing. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome. Love you. All right. If anyone else has a comment, we'll take it. And we're getting right down towards the end here. So, but don't be shy if there's something on your heart. Scott, did you have anything? You are welcome. Scott's going to come down, and he has a thought, and that's good, because Scott's in the Word a lot, so he gets things sparked regularly.
Yeah, I think the Lord was showing Mallory and I some things about this at the same time, a long time ago. But one of the things that I saw too is, you know, you see these living creatures in the book of Revelation later on, you know, and they actually in the in Ezekiel, they're beneath the expanse, but in Revelation, they're above it. And I just thought, you know, it's really neat to just see how the Lord, you know, just brings, you know, I always kind of felt like the living creatures were kind of maybe symbolic of the Bride of Christ, and you can, you know, take that for what it's worth, because it's like they seem to come more and more into conformity to the Lord. And in chapter 10, they start to rise up from the earth, and there's a lot of stuff there. But anyway, it's just really you know, the Lord does these things in us. He brings us, you know, if we allow him into that conformity, and brings us out of the earth and more and more into conformity. And, you know, the end result, you know, you see it all in the book of Revelation. We move from being one or individuals to being one, and that movement, like what Geraldine was talking about, that movement together. And anyway, just it's just there's so much in those creatures. There's so much of a picture of Jesus, a picture of ones that are moving by him, out of him.
Well, as Ezekiel also experienced, words just kind of fail because it doesn't mesh with how our brains understand things. But yeah, amen. That's a whole different thing. Yeah, the Lord was showing us. It was years ago, and the Lord was talking to both of us, and I think that I feel like, you know, obviously both of us were the Lord. He was looking at more of the progression of the living creatures into something other than what they were in Ezekiel chapter 1. And for today's lesson, it was more the completion of them as a fact. But both is true. I mean, there's both progression and completion in the Lord. Amen. All right. Well, with that, I think our hour is about up. Sorry for starting late today. But so now we're ending a little late. But I was glad to have you here today, and we will close in prayer really quick. Lord, thank you for your word, and every good and perfect gift is from above. It's not from man. And so whatever is of you today, you use it the way you want to use it, Lord, and may Jesus increase in all of us. And I say me first. May I decrease and Christ increase in me. In your name we pray. Amen. Love you guys. Bye. See you.